the two selections that were made tonight about the love of God really caught my attention, especially number 84 in the hymn book, The Love of God. I read one time that the last verse of this song was found in a jail cell. Now, whether that's accurate or not, I don't know, but that was in one of the books that talks about the origin of church hymns, that a man in prison had written this last verse. But whether it's a prisoner in jail or one of us, it's always true. Listen to these words. Could we with ink the ocean fill? That'd be a lot of ink, wouldn't it? Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Those are beautiful words. And if that was written by somebody in prison, he was certainly blessed with a great revelation of God's love. And as we were singing that tonight, it reminded me of a passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus when he was praying for the church. And of all the things that our beloved Apostle could pray for concerning the church at Ephesus, this is outstanding in my mind. You can just hear this servant of God who spent a lot of time in prison himself, not for any crime he had committed, but for preaching the gospel. But listen to what he would say in verse 14 of Ephesians 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It would be helpful if we could visualize tonight this aged apostle bowing his knees and praying to God, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So he's praying that the people in the church at Ephesus would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful prayer that our beloved apostle prayed on behalf of the church at Ephesus? And I want to notice with you, particularly in verse 18, he's praying that the church might be able to comprehend, that is, to understand, not just to know about the love of God, but to be able to go a little deeper in their understanding of the love of God and comprehend it, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height? So the Apostle Paul says that the love of God has these dimensions. We're familiar with measuring something, a box or a house. And he's praying that the church at Ephesus may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of God's love. And yet he says it passes knowledge. He's praying they may be able to comprehend it. And then he says, but it passes knowledge. None of us on this earth will ever be able to fully comprehend the love of God for us. But he's praying that the church might be able to comprehend the love of God. And beloved, I don't think there's any greater blessing for any church family than to have a deeper understanding of God's love for us. Y'all ever think about it through the week, how much God really loves you? Does your mind ever go there and you just meditate on it, think about it, and just take it in, the love of God? Now, he gives us these measurements, and I want to mention them briefly. He says, the breadth of God's love. How broad is God's love? Well, the Bible tells us that his love is very broad. Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved a few, for God so loved one nation. No, for God so loved the world. Now, it was pointed out at our fellowship meeting a couple of years ago. I thought it was a wonderful point Brother Green made from Florida, Tommy Green. He said, now why did Jesus use that word world in John 3:16? Why didn't he say, for God so loved the elect? That's probably what you and I would have preferred. Why did he use the word world? Well, he was talking to a Jew by the name of Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee and well acquainted with Jewish teachings, and the Jews understood that they were God's chosen people in the Old Testament. Of all the nations of the earth, God chose the descendants of Abraham to give them the land and to give them the temple, and to give them the priesthood, and to give them the prophets, and to give them the Ten Commandments. They were a chosen people. Of all the nations of the earth, God favored this one nation above all nations to give all of these blessings to. Well, the Jews thought of themselves as being the elect, and they were, from a natural standpoint. So if God had said to Nicodemus, for God so loved the elect, Nicodemus would have concluded, well, of course he does. He loves us Jews. So to avoid that misunderstanding, Jesus used the word world. Now, a lot of people want to say that the word world there means every human being in Adam's family. Well, we know that's not the case, because Jesus in John 17, the same gospel record, prays and says, he tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, wait a minute. Is John talking about the same world? Or is Jesus talking about the same world in John 17 as he was in John chapter 3? In John chapter 3, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. In John 17, he says, love not the world. Are we being told not to love the world that God loved? That wouldn't make logical sense, would it? So there's two different worlds under consideration. In our day, we use the word world in a lot of ways. You can talk about the sports world. You can talk about the political world. You can talk about the economic world. You can talk about the religious world. And those are very different worlds. Well, in the scriptures, you have to take the word world and understand it in its context. Context is key to understanding the Bible. And context involves verses before and after the verse that you are considering. So when the Bible says, "For God so loved the world," he's telling a Jew by the name of Nicodemus who thinks that God only loves the Jews. And I'm telling you, they were serious about that. They looked down on everybody else in the world. When a Jew, when an Orthodox Jewish man prayed, he would pray, "God, I thank you that I'm a Jew and not a Gentile. And I thank you that I'm a man and not a woman." That's how they prayed. They thought they were above and beyond everybody else in the world. They wouldn't even speak to a Gentile in the marketplace. If they brushed up against one, you know, in the marketplace, I mean, it just touched their garment. You know what they did? They went home and changed their clothes and took a bath. They were defiled. Y'all remember the Apostle Peter wouldn't dare go to the house of Cornelius. He said, "You know it's not lawful for me to go to the home of a Gentile." So Jesus is talking to this Jew who is very racial. He's a racist. I mean, he's very prejudiced against others. And Jesus said, "For God so loved the world," letting Nicodemus know that God's love is much broader than just the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham. How many of y'all get that tonight? See, God's got a people. Well, in the book of Revelation, John tells us that there will be a people in heaven out of every nation. How y'all like that? And every family. How do y'all like that? And every language on the face of this earth. God's love is a broad love. Now your love and my love ought to be broad. We ought to be able to love people that, you know, we're not friends with or close to. Because we're to love as Jesus loved. But I want to tell you, his love is a broad love. Well, now, let's look at this. He said that the length of God's love. How long is God's love? You know, if somebody asks you how long this building is, y'all could tell them. If you had a tape measure, you could measure it and tell them right quick how long this building is. Well, if I ask you how long God's love is, could you tell me? Well, I want to tell you, it's going to last forever. It reaches from eternity past to eternity future. God loved his people before the foundation of this world. Now, that's incredible to think about, a being that can look down through time, though he is in eternity. He can look down through the ages of time and see people and know who he loves and love them before they ever had a being in this world. And I want to tell you, if God ever loved them, he'll always love them, because his love, well, Paul said it very well in Romans chapter 8. He said, "I am persuaded." Are y'all persuaded? I am. He said, "I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." A friend of mine in Tennessee died a year ago this past week. Brother Jerry Williams, a dear friend of mine. I've known him since we were teenagers. And he got a tick bite, and they couldn't diagnose it. He was away And if he'd have been back in Nashville, they could have probably found it, but they didn't find it. It didn't actually diagnose what caused his death until after his death through blood work. But the year before that, their grandson took his life. He was troubled about a young girl, and he just thought it was the end of the world and took his life. And they came to visit us after that. And I can tell you their hearts were broken. But they had seen evidence in that boy's life. He was one of God's children. Now, there are people in this world that will tell you that if somebody takes their life, there's no way they can go to heaven. Do y'all believe that nonsense? No, sir. Nothing can separate them from the love of God. No kind of death. That's what Paul said. Neither death nor life. Now, I want to tell you, it's sad when somebody takes their life. That's horrible. And we have no right to do that. It's not ours. It belongs to God. But I want to tell you right now, He won't separate them from the love of God. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities shall ever separate us from the love of God. If God loves you, He's going to love you forever. You might as well just get comfortable with it. Because He's going to love you forever. And so that's the length of, what about the depth of His love? How deep can God's love go for sinners? Well, Paul said he was the chief of sinners, and he said this. He said in Galatians, he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Did y'all hear that? Paul used a personal pronoun. He loved me. He always talked about how much he loved all of us. But in that verse, he's just carried away with the fact God loved him. Could y'all witness with that? How many of y'all really right now at this moment just feel like God actually loves you? I hope you do. How deep can God's love go? Well, Paul said he was the chief of sinners. And God loved him. And the height. How high is God's love? Well, He'll love us to the highest heaven. Now, Paul is praying that the church at Ephesus may be able to comprehend with all saints the height, the length, the depth, the width of God's love. And I want to tell you all tonight, if you really want a good idea about how much God actually loves you, Now, we can all look around and see how good God is to us. He gave us this good earth to live on. He gives us sunshine in abundance. How many of y'all have got a bill lately for oxygen? He's just giving you oxygen to breathe all day long and all night long. I was laying in bed last night thinking about all this oxygen I'm breathing tonight. He just gives it to me. That's the goodness of God. His goodness is around us always. His love is manifest in many ways. He's blessed us to have, many of us, to have good health, have our families, have our jobs, our homes, our clothes, our automobiles. All that, to me, is an evidence of God's love for us. We praise Him for that. But if you really want to know how much He loves you, go to Calvary. And see Him giving His only Son to die for us. Now that is beyond comprehension. That God would love sinners like us enough to give His darling Son. The word darling, you know, I go into a restaurant occasionally and the waitress calls me darling. Y'all ever have that experience? I always feel uncomfortable with that. Or sweetheart. I guess they're wanting a tip. I don't know. But listen, the word darling means only one of a kind. God had one darling, and that was His Son Jesus. And if you're married, you're supposed to have just one darling. Amen? Well, I want to tell you, God gave His darlings. That word is used in Scripture. He gave Him to die for sinners like us. You know, that's beyond comprehension, isn't it? We know none of us would give one of our children to die for somebody else, even our best friend. I wouldn't give one of my children, especially my grandchildren, to die for my best friend. I sure wouldn't give them to die for my enemy, but God gave his darling son to die for his enemies. That's what Paul said in Romans 5. We were ungodly, we were his enemies, we were totally unworthy, and yet God gave his only son. And you know how much Jesus loved you? He came down from heaven to die for sinners like us. You know, I love this story. I've heard it through the years. This boy was talking to his girl on the phone, and he was sweet talking her. He said, "Honey," he said, "I would swim the Atlantic Ocean just to hold your hand. I'd climb Mount Everest just to see your smiling face." You know, big talk. She said, "Are you coming over tonight?" He said, "I don't think so. The weatherman said it may rain." Now, is that love? See, you can walk, you can talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk. And Jesus walked the walk. He didn't just say he loved us. He proved it when he came down from heaven and died the awful death of the cross for us. Now, I want to tell you, beloved friends, if he loved me that much, I ought to be ready and willing to go wherever he would call me to go to serve his people after all he did for me. I'll tell you another funny story, and I'll close tonight. I've always appreciated this one. This man, after supper one night, he was a farmer, and after supper he went out on the front porch and sat down and was relaxing. And after a while, his wife came out and sat next to him. She had been washing the dishes after supper, after cooking a meal and washing the dishes. And he sat there next to that woman, and he thought, "You know what? I just love that woman. She has helped me all these years. She's raised our children. She's cooked our meals. She's washed our clothes. She has taken care of me when I was sick." He just got to thinking about all she had done for him. And he thought, "You know, it takes all I can do to keep from telling her how much I love her." Now I want to ask y'all a question. Should he have gone ahead and told her? I see some of the sisters nodding. Well, I want to tell you, if you love the Lord, you let it be known. And if you love one another, let it be known. Thank you all for your wonderful attention tonight.